As last weekend's All-Star Game festivities demonstrated, each winter brings us ever more dramatic and glamorous dunks. There was one guy who dunked over a car. But since 1962, for versatility as a shooter, passer, and rebounder, no player has matched Oscar Robertson. When he was 23, Oscar Robertson averaged double figures in all three categories, points, rebounds, and assists, for the season. Nobody, not Michael Jordan, not Magic Johnson, not LeBron James, has done that since. But brilliance on the court is only one of the reasons Oscar Robertson is remembered by fans and should be honored by players, especially those who've directly benefited from free agency, which Robertson's lawsuit against the NBA helped to bring about. Oscar Robertson's autobiography, The Big O, My Life, My Times, My Game, has just been reissued by University of Nebraska Press. Oscar Robertson joins me now on the line. Welcome back to Only a Game.
Thank you so much.
I read just a few days ago that you are part of a class action lawsuit against the NCAA. The suit maintains that the NCAA has been profiting from the use of the images of various players for decades without compensating those players. How did you come to be associated with the lawsuit?
I had been seeing my cards distributed across the USA since I got out of college in 1960. Mm-hmm. And I heard about this class action suit, and so I followed up on it, and finally I got involved in it. Mm-hmm. I don't believe the NCAA has the right to use your likeness whenever they want to or own whatever they want to without your permission.
Your book was originally published back in 2003, at which point you wrote, and I'm quoting now, "It's important that there be some record of how the game of basketball got here." Were you and are you concerned that today's fans are ignorant about the achievements of players from your era and earlier?
To a certain degree. It's just that with television and the way things are today with instant gratification, that no one's going to talk very much about basketball in the 1960s. Or before that at all, because to really understand the origin of basketball and how it really got started. Now, no one today will love to talk about that whatsoever.
Frequently, retired players in various sports will say that today's athletes are bigger, they're stronger, they're better conditioned, and maybe generally superior to those who came before them. Do you think that's true of today's NBA players?
Everyone's going to say that. There's been a period in which they see sports being played. That doesn't bother me at all. I mean, athletes were bigger and stronger years ago as they are today. You didn't have any football players 6'5", 350 pounds years ago because there just were not any who could play.
You didn't have too many guys with shoulders like Dwight Howard's in the NBA either, did you?
Well, maybe so, but you didn't have them on TV every night. You had one game a week on Sunday afternoon, that's all you saw.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see guys doing commercials, you see them doing all kinds of things, and underwear and socks and headbands and whatnot. Of course, over the years, I think they probably do a lot more weights and accentuate their muscles.
Well, that's a good point. If you're going to appear in your underwear, better to have big muscles.
Well, instead of having a big stomach.
When you were at the University of Cincinnati, you were offered the opportunity to leave school and play for the Harlem Globetrotters. NBA salaries, of course, in those days were not what they are now. Were you tempted by that offer to play for the Globetrotters?
No, I was not, because the salaries for the Globetrotters were not that much to begin with either. I was in school. My grades were great. I made the dean's list, and I was doing very well on the court. I went to school to get an education.
Your debut with the Cincinnati Royals back in 1960 drew, I understand, the biggest crowd that team had ever attracted. Tell me about the pressure on you at that point.
The pressure was what I lived for, to play in basketball. Pressure is what an athlete wants because you rise to the occasion. People make too much about pressure today, but pressure's all over, all around us. It's in the business world, it's in the religious world, so pressure was no problem.
But I can't quite accept that. I mean, the biggest crowd that team had ever drawn, and they were there to see you.
But I played in big crowds in high school throughout my 3 years playing varsity basketball. The crowd didn't matter to me at all. I knew how to play basketball, and I've gotten way beyond being nervous in a game, so it was no problem whatsoever.
How soon after you began playing in the NBA did it become apparent to you that you would be a star in that context? Or did you know it before you ever bounced a ball on an NBA court?
I didn't think of being a star. I didn't think along those terms at all, but I knew that I could play basketball. That was what was important to me. I knew I had to continue to improve my game in order to be where I wanted to be, try to help our team win. But saying that I was going to be a star, no, I never had those thoughts whatsoever.
In 1996, you were named one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history. What do you make of debates about who's the greatest player of all time?
Today, everything is who's the best. Who's the best announcer? Who's the best writer? Who's the best? I would say this. I think there are a group of basketball players who are very good. I don't think there is any one basketball player versus anyone else who's the greatest. If you're the greatest, then you get all the rebounds, you block all the shots, you make all the right passes, and you make all your shots. So no one has ever done that.
In the Big O, you write that you're awfully happy that you did play on a championship team, that you had that opportunity. Would your career have been regarded differently if the Milwaukee Bucks hadn't won everything 40 years ago?
Of course it would have, because that was a way of criticizing great athletes in those days, because the Celtics had a very good basketball team, and we didn't have the team to beat the Celtics. So when I went to Milwaukee, we won a championship. Of course, it stopped a lot of criticism of Oscar Robertson.
You were active in achieving all sorts of benefits for pro basketball players, free agency, of course, but you were also active in getting the pension plan installed. Do you feel that today's players take for granted what you and your contemporaries had to fight to achieve?
I've always felt that in order to play basketball, ice hockey, baseball, or football, you should know the history of the game. You should have to read the history of the game and understand how it got started and how things came about. But that's not true anymore. People now, you know, even when you join a corporation, a multi-million-dollar corporation, a billion-dollar corporation, no one really wants to know who started this, who are the people who are prominent, et cetera, any of those things at all.
You write that you feel that you were blackballed from coaching and from opportunities to work as a basketball broadcaster as well. How and when did that become apparent to you?
I don't think a lot of players had that opportunity who were African-American. But since I was involved with the Oscar Robertson suit, which gave players the right to become free agents and the right to go to other teams, I felt that there was a certain air among some of the owners during those days that they didn't want Oscar Robertson to be involved with basketball at all.
This was their way of paying you back for standing up against them.
No doubt about it.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days.
Well, I'm in Cincinnati. I have two companies. I have a specialty chemical company, and I have a document management company here as well.
How are things going?
Well, you know, this is America. You know, we're having some difficult financial times. We're not making $2 or $3 billion a year, but I don't think a lot of people are doing that.
Oscar Robertson, Hall of Famer, has also been designated one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history. He's the author of The Big O, My Life, My Times, My Game, which was recently reissued in paper by University of Nebraska Press. Mr. Robertson, thank you very much for speaking with me.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling.
You're listening to Only a Game.